Welcome to episode 11 of KAC's Lenten podcast, Into the Wilderness. If you are joining us for the first time, or you need a refresher on what this podcast is all about, I'd encourage you to check out the first episode of this series, titled Into the Wilderness, Lenten Podcast Intro, and then join us back here after you're done. I also want to take a quick moment to thank you for journeying with us to this final week of Lent. This week, instead of releasing a devotional on Friday, we encourage you to join a Good Friday service. Whether that's here at KC, in person or online, or wherever you call home. In lieu of Friday's devotional, we will be releasing our final episode on Easter Monday, where we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection and what it means for our lives. Now let's begin. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still small voice. Open us to change and growth as we seek to walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 21, verses 18 to 19. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. For the past 5 weeks of Lent, we have been following Jesus' steps in the wilderness. This week, we follow Jesus' final steps to the cross. On Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem on a donkey, telling the world that he was the king they had been waiting for. The people cheered and praised him, singing "Hosanna in the highest." And not 5 short days later, those same people would yell, "Crucify him." What happened to cause such a turn of heart? The Monday preceding Jesus' death, Holy Monday, was a Monday for the books. Everyone wanted triumphant, "Come to me all who are weary," Jesus, but no one wanted the Jesus who overturned tables and cursed fig trees, who confronted the rites and rituals of a fruitless religion, the Jesus whose very life held up a mirror so humanity could see their own sin and pride more clearly. And I wonder if the same is true for us. See, when we drop down into our passage, we know that Jesus rode into Jerusalem one day prior. He cleanses the temple and then leaves for Bethany, which was about a mile away. And on his way back into Jerusalem, he and his disciples pass by a fig tree that was full of leaves but bore no figs. The leaves on the branches indicated that fruit should have been growing, and yet it was completely fruitless. So Jesus curses it, and it withers the next day. And so you and I think to ourselves, Jesus, seems a bit harsh for a tree, don't you think? But Jesus' actions are about so much more than just a tree. They have symbolic importance, signifying the hypocrisy of all who have the appearance that they bear fruit, but whose lives, in fact, are completely fruitless. What's being described here is what we call dead orthodoxy, where we believe the right things about God, having a high view of Scripture, correct theology and doctrine, but the heart, our hearts, remain stagnant and unchanged. It's akin to believing rightly about who Jesus is, setting out to do everything Jesus has called us to do, but attempting to do so without him. Matthew 21 is a sobering passage, because it begs the question for each of us, where do I give the appearance as though I bear fruit, but what's actually taking place within me is completely lifeless, completely dead? Dead orthodoxy is where we as Christians get ourselves in trouble. Dead orthodoxy is where we tout holiness, but the world can't see evidence of it in our own lives. We're all law with no life. Dead orthodoxy is where we preach a resurrection power that comes to bring dead things back to life, but what flows from us instead is powerless and sometimes dangerous. Jesus says in John 15, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." See, Jesus is saying two very radical things. First, he says, "I am the true vine. He's making a revolutionary statement here, as he's saying to first century Jews that true life wasn't found in temple worship, or in the priesthood, in the law, in the sacrifice, or in belonging to the national people of Israel. True life was not found in rites or rituals. True life was found in Him. See, Jesus doesn't just have, He doesn't just bring, He is life. The second thing he says is that our fruitfulness comes by way of remaining in him, dwelling with him, making our home in him. See, our fruitfulness isn't in doing the right things or believing the right things. It's in being connected to the true source of life where true life is found. So hear me say this. As I said last episode, our lives are meant to be an active parable of the gospel, a witness to the life-giving actions of Jesus, and not just once, but again and again. So that doesn't mean that you make yourself shiny and righteous so the rest of the world can see just how much you've got it together. The world needs to hear and see how He has and He is taking the broken places of your own life, your deepest wounds, your biggest failures, and producing life in it and through it as you pursue Him. The wilderness journey of Lent is an opportunity to come face to face with our own sin, but it's also an opportunity for renewal. To renounce our own hypocrisy, the rites and rituals of a lifeless religion of our own making, and to offer ourselves to God once more, seeking to remain connected to the vine, the true source of life, so that He might come and produce fruit in us and through us. John 15, verses 4 to 8. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I will now lead you through a period of contemplation, pausing often for your own personal time with the Lord. Pay attention to any words, thoughts, or images the Holy Spirit reveals to you in this time. Lord, in what ways do I have a dead orthodoxy, believing right things about you, seeking to do the things you've called me to do, but attempting to do so without your presence? Lord, where am I giving the appearance of fruitfulness, but am actually dead and lifeless? Lord, what is one way you are calling me to remain in you in this season? John 15, verses 4 to 8. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, spend time in prayer confessing your dead orthodoxy, where you believe the right things about Jesus but seek to live out your faith without His presence. Ask Him to empower you to remain in Him, the true vine. We thank you, Jesus, that it says in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We acknowledge that even the sorrow of our sins is a gracious gift from you. So God of love and power, thank you for your forgiveness. Free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by your Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this time together. We give it to you as a Lenten offering, a gift of ourselves. We thank you for being with us, for speaking to our hearts, strengthening our faith, and reminding us that we are not alone in this journey. You led us here in grace. We ask that the transformation begun in us will continue. Amen.